Well, it is so good to be able to be with all of you here this morning, see you, and for us to have an opportunity to spend time and study of God's Word. If you're visiting with us, we are very thankful to have you in attendance, and we look forward to spending a few moments with you following our services, getting to welcome you and talk with you and encourage you. And we just, again, are thankful that you're present this morning with us. If you have your Bibles and would like to, you can open them to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. We'll look at that passage of Scripture in just a few moments together. But we're going to be talking about the idea of make it happen. Make it happen. Now, I'm going to share a slide with you and a thought from an individual that you're going to probably recognize in the sports world. Michael Jordan, Big Red's favorite player of all time. He was a Chicago Bulls fan there in the day when Michael Jordan played for him. And I'm not here here to say that I have a love for Michael in everything that he's ever done in his life. I have a respect for his gifts and his abilities. I wasn't a fan of his because I was a Laker fan, and I can tell you that when I watched Michael Jordan play, it used to drive me crazy because I don't care what the statisticians say throughout the course of his life in the NBA. Many people say that he shot probably around 45, 50, or 60%, 50%, something like that. And like, that is not true. They are wrong. Every game that I saw him play, he shot 96% at least. Okay? The guy never missed. I mean, never missed hardly. And so I can say with certainty that I believe that he is the greatest basketball player of all time that's ever existed, even though I was not a fan and did not pull for his team. But here's one thing that he said. And we're going to look at this from a biblical perspective because this concept is found in the Bible. He said some people want it to happen. Some wish it would happen. Others make it happen. That brings us to our text today from Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Now, there are other ways that you can look at this particular passage of Scripture, other interpretations of it, translations of it. One thought is this: a lazy man sits around and wishes for things to happen. That's kind of the concept and the idea that's being portrayed and presented here in this particular passage of Scripture. You know, we often daydream about what we would like to have or who it is that we would like to become. And it may be that in those areas of life, when you have those thoughts, they are of a material nature or a physical nature or maybe even of a spiritual nature. When you think about the things that you would like to have and the things that you would like to be, how you would like to improve maybe as an individual, especially when it comes to spiritual things, and I think that will be the application more that we're considering this morning, you know, those thoughts come to our mind and we think about it. And we dream, boy, I wish that I was better in some of these areas in my life. And although we give God the glory and thanks for our achievements and successes, we still are expected to be involved in the process. We're expected to be a part of that process. Our text here informs us that if we desire to have, then we must also have the willingness to do something about it. To do something about those things. That's going to be the thought that we will look at. In other words, what he's trying to convey for us this morning is this: make it happen. Or at least try to make it happen. You know, there are some things that happen. Sometimes we can have a pity party. We can sit around and we can long over the things that we don't have. We can pine over our specific situation. And I want you to know that if we do that and we do nothing, that's still going to be the situation. You know, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, he's writing to these Thessalonian Christians. And they had a false concept about the coming of the Lord, the second coming. And so he's going to address that in his two letters that he writes to this congregation, their issues or their misthoughts about the second coming. But one of the thoughts that they had, it seems to be from the reading of the text, is that Jesus was about to come. And because Jesus was about to come, they weren't worried about anything else that was going on in the world. They weren't worried about working. And in fact, a spirit of idleness had taken over their heart. And so Paul writes them and said, don't let that spirit of idleness come over you. I want to make sure that you are working. And in fact, he goes on to say, if a man will not work, let him not eat. So there's something that you can do about your situation. You need to be involved in it. You need to be giving some effort in the things that you're going to do. Well, I want us to look at how we can make some things happen in our life. And again, I want us to look at these from a spiritual perspective. To begin with, you know, people talk about wanting greater knowledge of the Bible. Wanting greater knowledge of the Bible. You ever heard that? People say, oh man, I just wish I knew a little bit more about God's Word. You know when I say that? Make it happen. Make it happen. You can do something about that, folks. You can have greater knowledge of the Scripture. But let me tell you something. The ball is in your court. You see, God has done everything that He can to help provide you with what you need. When you think about your life and you think about salvation, God's provided everything that you're going to need for that. All things that we have that pertain to life and godliness have been provided for us if we'll take advantage of those things. So the ball's in our court. You can do something about it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul writes, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter says to consume that word, desire that sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If growth were not possible, if gaining more knowledge were not possible, then Peter and Paul wouldn't write about us studying and consuming that word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul also tells the young man Timothy, until I come, give attendance to the public reading of Scripture. Now, why would he want Timothy to read the Scriptures publicly? Because he knew that those Scriptures would be of benefit to people. It will give them wisdom. It will give them knowledge. You can have knowledge. In fact, God says you can pray about it also. If any man lacks wisdom, what does James say? Let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You can have it. There are tools here for you to gain more wisdom and more knowledge and understanding of God's Word if you'll apply them and use them. We've got the Word. We've been blessed with it. Make it happen. Make it happen. Next, you know, people want to talk about wanting their families to be more faithful. But we got to try to make that happen too. Now, I recognize that when we're dealing with this, we're dealing with people who have their free moral agency. In other words, they have the opportunity to make decisions for themselves when they get to the age of doing that. But listen, God has instructed us to do what we can, to try to make it happen. That's why we have scriptures like Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a proverb. It doesn't guarantee success, but he's saying, try to make it happen. And if we'll do our very best to make it happen, then it's more likely to happen, right? If you go to Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13, this, you know, passage of Scripture may be uncomfortable for folks. You know, it's a passage of Scripture that we look at. And here's what it says in verse 24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. My daddy must have really loved me. Right? Maybe yours did too. Maybe your daddy really loved you. My daddy really loved me, I know. And then he goes on to follow that up with, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. To discipline him. When you think about this idea of discipline, we think about this idea of training. Training our children. Now, when we discuss this idea of the consequences that our children are to receive whenever they misbehave, we need to understand in our minds that this discipline, this correction is for their benefit. It's not supposed to be to make me feel better. A lot of times I think that's what happens, right? We punish our children, that's what we call it, instead of disciplining them. We punish them because that's what makes me feel good. It makes us feel better. We talked a little bit about this in one of our men's Devo and Donuts, didn't we, Leslie? About this making us feel better. And it's not about that. He's saying you need to train, you need to discipline your children. This is for their benefit. And we've got to always keep that in our mind as we're offering this discipline, this instruction. But we've got to make an attempt. You know, I see so many folks who just aren't even making an attempt with their families. Well, whatever happens, happens. They'll eventually. No. We have a responsibility to try to make it happen. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, we studied this passage of Scripture last week concerning Abraham. God said about Abraham that I know him, that he will command his children, that they will be faithful so that God could bring upon Abraham those things that he had promised. God says, I know that he's going to command his children and they're going to do what's right so that my will can be done. If that can't happen, then what's the point, right? But we've got to be there to try to make it happen. And that's by living lives of faithful, dedicated service to God, being an influence, demonstrating those things, those characteristics for our children, teaching them about God's Word, leading them in those paths of righteousness, doing our very best to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. So people talk about wanting their families to be more faithful. You know what? Make it happen. Do something about it. At least try to do something about it. And then, what about this? People talk about wanting a better relationship with God and a more confident faith. I want to have a better relationship with God. I want a more confident faith. There's a lot of people who are floundering in our world today. A lot of people who are struggling. They're struggling with doubt, struggling with their faith. And again, the thought for the day applies. If you want a better relationship with God and a more confident faith, make it happen. Even the disciples in the Scriptures had some issues on occasion where they even came to Jesus, the disciples, and said to Him, Lord, increase our faith. They wanted to have that confidence. They wanted to have that right relationship. And so it's not wrong to ask for that. It's not wrong to seek for it. Because Jesus said, if you will seek after me, you will what? You will find. If you knock on the door, it'll be opened unto you. Ask and it'll be given. And so what we've got to do is we've got to do those things. We've got to make it happen. In Matthew chapter 25, we talk about this passage of Scripture quite a bit at our Devo and Donuts as well. But in Matthew chapter 25, you're going to find where that Jesus comes in His glory with His angels, and He's sitting on His glorious throne. And while He's sitting there, all the nations are gathered together, and on the right hand we've got the sheep, and on the left hand are the goats. And the thing that distinguishes the sheep from the goats is this. Those sheep, when they saw people hungry or thirsty or in prison or who needed visiting or who needed clothing, they were the ones who stepped in and provided that benevolence and that help and demonstrated the love of God to the world. And those that were goats did not do those things. They didn't do. And Jesus says, now, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And the right said, well, when did we do it for you? He said, you did it when you did it to these people. You reflected my love. That's doing it for me. If I want to have a better relationship with God, I need to start doing what God asked me to do. I want to have a more confident faith. I need to spend more time in study of His Word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The ball's in your court. You can do something about it. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself for godliness. Folks, training takes some effort. And that's exactly what the Apostle Peter is going to say in 2 Peter chapter 1. We looked at verse 3, or at least mentioned it a few moments ago when we said that all things that pertain to life and godliness we've been given through the knowledge of Him who called you to His own glory and excellence. Through our knowledge, how can we have a better relationship? More knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do we get that? Well, let's listen to what Peter says in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort. You hear what he's saying there? Peter's saying, listen, if you want to have the best relationship that you can with God, if you want to have a confident faith in God, you got to put in some time. It's going to take some effort. And that's why he says, you make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You living with doubt? You living with concern? You living in fear? We didn't get to it this morning. We're going to get to it next week. But we're studying in 1 John right now in the auditorium class. And some of the things that we've been talking about is having confidence in Christ and in God. And actually having confidence for the day of judgment. That's something we're going to look at next week. Having confidence for the day of judgment. How you can have it. You're living with doubt right now. You're struggling in your faith. You want a better relationship with God and a more confident faith. Then make it happen. Make it happen. I'm not going to quote the following thought exactly the way that you will hear it. I think that the way it's given is a little bit harsh, so I have amended the quote that I found that I think relates to this, and especially when we're talking about spiritual things. The idea and the concept is this: those who fail, let it happen. Those who succeed, make it happen. Here's the final thought for the day. Don't be left thinking about what might have been. We ever let that percolate in our mind a little bit, what might have been? You know, we go through life and we say, you know, wow. When I think back, boy, if I had taken that road, what might have been? If I'd made this decision, what might have been? I really believe that in eternity, this thought is going to run through the minds of a lot of people. And they're going to have plenty of time to dwell on it. What might have been? What might have been if I had just responded to the sermons and given my life to Christ the way that I should have? What might have been? What might have been if I had not made that terrible decision that sent me down a destructive, spiraling path of sin that I never got out of again? What might have been? Good news is this. All that are here today, that are alive and well, have an opportunity to do what's right. If you want these things that we've discussed today, you have the opportunity to make it happen. Make it happen. And you think about this. Those who fail will have let that happen. Because like we said before, God has done everything in His power to offer you salvation and success. He has sent His Son to die on the cross so that if you'll accept Him, it will take care of your sin. He has provided you with His Word so you can be close to Him, so you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in doubt. You can have His Word penetrate your heart. Live by it. It can guide you. But in eternity, you'll either fail by letting eternal condemnation happen, or you'll live in glory because you made it happen. You did what you needed to do. So if there's someone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation, make their life right, to become a Christian, a child of God, if there's someone here that needs to change the way they've been living, they want to be closer to God, make it happen. While together we stand and sing.